I'm so happy. I love everything.
It's going to be so much fun. Let's do it.
Hey, doll, Mary.
It's been
doll,
a good day.
Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
This is Return of the Pod. Right, sons, and welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars and more, where we discuss and celebrate the movies, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away, and will occasionally journey to other galaxies. Every generation is a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, disgraced Jedi and Force Mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with former Force-sensitive Assassin's Guild member turned droids rights activist Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the smuggler with a not-so-secret heart of gold, Captain Matt Romano.
Greetings.
We're still getting acclimated here on Starbinger Base.
Where Oof,
there's,
we sure are.
I have to say, there's just so much mess.
There's just so much stuff. Why do we have so much stuff?
Matt, well, it started last week when Matt just decided to not use a trash can and just throw stuff.
No. Here's the thing. This whole place is a trash can, Brian. The whole place is a trash can.
Okay.
Where do you think I found this stuff?
You take that back right now.
I mean, really?
Take that back.
I'm sorry.
If it's such a trash can, then feel free to go.
I mean, there's a lot of space. I can separate the two of you if that's a thing that needs to happen.
Listen, if I could find a door, I'd be out of here. But I don't know where we are. I'm just saying, the
area around Captain's Corner has a lot of detritus that just builds up like you're creating your own barricades of trash.
Listen, this stuff just comes to me.
Projects. It is. It like rolls. It's like a magnet. Or something. Yeah. I don't know what's happening with you.
I go walking and I just find stuff all over the place.
Caitlin, what you're saying is that Matt is a garbage magnet.
Yep.
Ooh.
Okay.
I think we're gonna make a sign.
I've been called worse.
There we go.
Yeah. Not recently.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Well, now that we have that out of the way.
Moving on, yeah.
Anyway, it's good though. It's good. I had to bring that up, but it's good. Things are good here.
Things are good here.
Things have been a lot worse, and Caitlin is working on a map of the base, which is really great, even though the map itself calls me a liar in several instances. I mean, tell me, Caitlin.
What's behind the frickin' walls over there?
No, you mean the secret project?
Yes.
You're going to find out as to what's in the North Wing. You're not ready to find out. But let me ask you this. When has crazy old man Silliman ever steered you wrong?
Oh, never.
Ever.
No. You want it alphabetically or chronologically?
Well, there was that one time at the Battle of T'Nab, if you recall.
Brian. All right. Anyway, my secret project at the center of this base is almost complete, and we will unveil it when it is. And it's going to be a good thing for everybody. Hopefully, it'll be ready to go, if not next week, then the week after. But in the meantime, let's see if our reprogrammed battle droid is ready to go.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Ugh.
All right. Hold for a second. Let me just try that again. I think I got it.
That was really irritating.
Once more, I think I have it, guys. Ready? Here we go. It's going to be good. Nope.
Oh. Wait. Is it just its voice that's broken? What's going on here?
It's the personality matrix. I'm a little overrun between the, you know, trying to deal with what's in the North Wing, the secret project, the fortifications on the ridge. There's a lot. And Matt's garbage. Which I trip over.
Or treasure.
Every morning on my way to the calf machine, having to look at a candy Jar Jar tongue.
You know what they say, one man's trash.
Is also Matt's
trash.
Is
another man's barricade. Yeah.
Those Jar Jar pops just keep popping up. I keep eating them, but they keep coming back. Yeah. I don't know.
Out of the frying pan into the dot, dot, dot. Huh, Caitlin?
Sure.
Anyway, we are... Thanks. We are recording on Thursday, February 25th, 2021. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
That is the date.
Yeah, that is the date.
And listen, very good.
That's not a joke. I honestly don't know.
Oh, I have no idea what, never day, sure. what day it is.
It's, I don't
you could
know
be
what
wrong.
Is.
I'm just going to say, yeah.
I'm just going to say, we're recording on Jeremy Bearme, but you'll be listening to this on Jeremy Bearme.
The amount of it's times I wake correct.
Up. Yeah, and not know where I am or when I am or what. It happens a lot in any case. And that's just my life. But, you know, you're not here for that. Or are you? No, you're not. Anyway, this episode will go live on the 26th. We never had a chance to talk about this. So this episode that we're going to talk about is going to be a look back at the season 2 installment of the Disney Gallery Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Before we do that, however, which that came out, we're really, really hot.
Really behind.
We are this coming like out of the gate swinging.
Months
tonight.
Ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did the avalanche of things on it came out on Christmas Day. And it was a nice thing to watch Christmas Day, as you know, for circumstances. I was, you know, if Charlie Brown's Christmas tree was a day.
That was your Christmas? Oh, wow.
But it was nice to watch the Disney Gallery. And then I, you know, other things that we all renounced our wish and then went on a journey with Soul or whatever.
Of course.
So it's a couple months later, but we're going to get to it. But before we do that, however, we've got some big news about the Bad Batch.
They call themselves the Bad Batch.
So let's go over to Caitlin for some news on the march.
News on the march.
Why, thank you, Brian. I have to say, I was really caught off guard by this one. But during some TCA panels, it was announced that on Disney Plus, Star Wars The Bad Batch will be released on May 4th.
Yeah! Boom!
Yeah.
Please tell me we are blowing something up.
And then it's going to be, remember, for The Mandalorian, they did this too, where there was one episode on May the 4th, and that Friday they released the second episode, and that's exactly awesome. What they're going to be doing with this. Oh, so it'll be May 4th and May 7th. So we'll get a twofer.
Awesome.
You know what's cool about this for me is that the last year's May the 4th was the season 7 finale of Star
that's
Wars
right.
The Clone Wars.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And now this year, and we all thought it was over. We're all so sad.
Yeah.
It was just a really sad thing. And now we're back in Clone Wars mode, Clone Wars artistic mode, and it's a new beginning on May the 4th. It stunned me, too, because this is earlier than I was expecting.
I think we had talked about it, and we genuinely weren't expecting to see something until, like, at least the end of the summer. I was expecting sometime in the fall, even. So this is truly very, very surprising to me.
Honestly, I'm not surprised. I thought for sure this was going to come out in May. I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Well, good for you, Matthew.
Yeah. I remember. Listeners, always remember Matt's famous Bad Batch is going to hit May theory.
I said it in an episode, I think. I'm going to go back and rewind the tape. Wait. But like, because we always knew that there was going to be WandaVision and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There's no way they were going to follow up another Marvel series and put Loki there and
sure
have three
Marvels.
Sure,
there is. They could do what they have. They could.
It was always
Who's
Bad Batch.
Stop them?
Owner of the universe. But that actually does bring
up right now.
The next point. That brings up the next point, though, because I'm glad that you said Loki, because though we got to, since, you know, in the future, we might be talking about Star Wars adjacent-ish things.
Exactly.
At the same time as the announcement about Star Wars The Bad Batch, we also got a new release date for Loki, which will be coming out on June 11th.
Amazing. So basically you get Bad Batch and then Loki.
So through that, we can kind of extrapolate. Is that the right word? How many episodes Bad Batch will be, at least for the first season?
Right. And that's not information that we have yet. But if you look at it and if you want to go like 10, 12 episodes, that lines up relatively well.
And I'm just assuming, and Caitlin, I'm assuming, and tell me if you agree, that Bad Batch, this is just going to be season one of Bad Batch.
I hope so.
Like, this is not a one and done.
I really hope that it continues on after this, because, I mean, we got, like, WandaVision right now, which is kind of expected to be a one and done kind of series.
That's what they thought.
That's what they thought.
And then look what happened.
Exactly.
Matt Romano, you now, aside from being prescient about release dates or whatever else, you're excited about Bad Batch. And
you posted
on our social, what do fans want to know? And fans want to see a lot of things.
Yep.
And you've got, I can't remember what your segment's called, but later in the show we'll be getting to the Bad Batch theories, correct?
Yes, we're going to get to the Bad Batch theories in a little segment we call Captain's Corner.
Oh, that's the first I've heard of it.
That old chestnut?
Yeah, you ever heard of that? Yeah, but way to ruin the surprise. Oh, my goodness.
It was who created Captain's Corner.
I think that was you.
No, that would be Brian. French.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so that's exciting. Anything else newsworthy surrounding Bad Batch? Well, I know, Caitlin, you're a big Loki fan.
I'm a big Loki. I love Loki.
Ooh. Matt, you're a big Loki fan.
Love me some Loki.
Yeah, I mean, Loki is amazing.
Yeah.
I love Loki in the comics. I love Loki in the MCU. I like Loki on pizza. I really love what Tom Hiddleston does with that part.
And he eats it.
I was going to say, I love Tom Hiddleston first, before the character. I mean, it's Tom Hiddleston.
There ain't nothing better than a few sips of the Hiddle soup.
Little hitty action.
I'll have that drink now.
Yeah.
Love it.
He's one of those guys that is just like, I really don't care what you're doing.
I'll watch it.
There's going to be money leaving my account.
Yeah.
Even if it's free.
Yeah, but and now we got Owen Wilson. I can't really do it. I'm working on it. Who knows what that's going to be? But
that's the one.
No, you may not.
Wow.
If only Melissa Villaseñor, if she was here, she could do it. She does the world's best Owen Wilson.
Wow. It's Owen Wilson. Yeah.
Wow.
But
wow. Oh no.
All right, listeners, are you about done with this? Yes.
That's all I got for news. We got other stuff to talk about, I think.
Yeah. The thing about Owen Wilson is he runs a couple newspapers. That's going to do it for news. But with that, let's boat on back behind the scenes of season 2 of the Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
There's really not going to be any new canon here because this is a behind the scenes show. But just in case, our rebuilt canon. is standing by. If we have any hot takes along the way, we'll sound the hot take alarm. And if anything really blew our minds the first time or blew them all over again on rewatch, we'll let loose with the seismic mind charge. Now, this episode has been out for months, and it's all behind the scenes stuff. So I'm going to dispense with sounding the spoiler klaxon.
Yeah.
But that said, if you haven't watched it, you would likely enjoy watching it before listening to this because, Caitlin Bush, what is there?
There's a clear order in which you should watch Disney Gallery, Star Wars, The Mandalorian, and then listen to our podcast.
That's right. There is a clear order, and they would like to build the baby. Woo, woo. Okay, here we go again. Punch it!
But bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
The Disney Gallery, Star Wars, The Mandalorian. Season 1 left our directors and writers in peril, and season 2, on Yabana, blah, 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 bits over, whatever. Okay, so see this, I like that this starts, and the first thing we saw was R4 wheeling along with a secrecy blanket on top. It cuts to, or should I say, it's a return to season 2 of a show called Huckleberry, which I thought was fascinating.
Why Huckleberry, do you think?
Well, it's, you know, western-y.
Is that it? I guess westerning.
Assume. I like it.
Yeah,
I mean, cool. Matt, believe it or not, I'm not in the loop on these decisions.
Yeah, I'm only familiar with Huckleberry, the cartoon character. Wasn't there a Huckleberry?
Okay, now, kitty. Now get for home. Scat, kitty cat. Scat!
Yeah, there's Huckleberry.
Huckleberry Hound. Finn.
There you go.
Huckleberry Finn. And, okay, and Huckleberry. There's the tombstone. I'll be your Huckleberry.
My mom's dog's name is Huckleberry.
Oh,
see,
really?
It's all about Caitlin's mom's dog.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a pie as well. Huckleberry pie?
That's correct.
Is that a thing?
With pies, you got your Huckleberry.
Cool.
You got your rhubarb.
Elderberry.
You got your elderberry pie.
Mm.
You got your wood pie.
Apple.
Which is just a pie made with wood shavings. There's the apple pie is, I believe, a popular pie.
I love apple pie.
Got your cardboard pie.
Anyway, moving on.
Pie. But there's pie. That's a thing.
Pie.
Personally, I prefer cake. I'm a cake guy. And I love how Filoni says season one is, and this is kind of what we felt. He says season one is we establish what the show is. And in season two, you can have a little more fun. and deepen the experience.
Did they have fun?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I mean, I had fun. And watching them do this special, I'm like, okay, everyone doing this is having fun.
Oh, it's insanely jealous of every single person that works on the show. Everyone they talk to, everyone you see in the background, they are having a blast.
Just it's so good.
As someone all the time, it's like if you're on this show or working on this show and you're not having fun, then you're in the wrong field.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's what people are like, well, did you have a good time doing it? It's like, well, it's my doing my favorite thing to do. So if I wasn't having fun, then I'm in the wrong business. So question right off the bat, hot button issue for Caitlin.
Ooh.
It's not really a hot button issue, but it's a question for you. So chapter 9, Cobb Vanth, Cobb Vanth, Cobb Vanth.
Yeah.
The big Western Krayt Dragon extravaganza with shifting aspect ratios and all that. We got it. You mentioned this a little last week, and I meant to follow up, but we were talking about episodes of The Mandalorian that we throw on as, say, a comfort episode.
Yeah.
We're saying, if say I want a little Mando comfort, and we only have time for one, I'm probably not going to put on The Believer, even though, because that's intense, that's ethical dilemmas, that's loaded. And if I'm not in the mood for ethical dilemma, sometimes I'll put on a different one. You'd mentioned for you... I believe you mentioned this one because this is a fun one. And as our resident, you know, Western enthusiast, which you are, and all of us love a Western, but you grew up with them.
Yep.
This is one that I got the feeling that you throw on from time to time.
Oh, absolutely. I have rewatched it probably more than at least any episode in season two. I can't say for season one since it's been out a little bit longer, but it is absolutely delightful. And then, of course, you get Olyphant. And you can't beat space cowboy Timothy Olyphant.
We're going to try, but you're probably right. I bet you could beat him with an aluminum pipe. Coming for you, Olyphant.
What is your thing here? You're not even going for the same role. I've been through this before.
Yeah. He's too good.
I know.
He's too talented, he's too good looking, and it's not fair. It sets an impossible standard for the rest of us, Nathaniel.
But maybe you're just going for different parts or you're doing different things.
No,
you know,
I don't F know. That. Yeah. Get on my side. You should be on my side.
Brian wants to be a cowboy.
I was on your side, and then I looked into Cobb Vanth's eyes, and it's never been the same.
It's never been the same.
Never been the same. I'm sorry.
Oh, I lost you, too.
He is equal parts cute and sexy, and you're that's
like,
a problem.
You guys are like the B story in the first Power Rangers movie. Oh, you're just the parents walking towards the cliff,
exactly.
And I'm the kid with the spray gun trying to keep you away from it.
I don't understand this reference, but...
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, everyone understands that reference. Anyway... Circling back to what we're actually talking about. So on the behind the scenes of this, and it's Favreau's first time actually directing, and you can tell he's loving it because he's back behind the camera, really getting into the meat of it. What are some revelations that really stuck with you about this episode, Caitlin M. Bush?
I'd have to say anything to do with the Krayt Dragon. You know, I love a big, stupid Star Wars monster.
Yep.
This is the biggest stupid Star Wars monster. Yeah.
Someone say the OG, maybe.
The OG.
You see the skeleton.
That's a good point. The OG big stupid Star Wars
skeleton,
monster.
Yeah, it's one of the first
he's
ones.
The OG.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, I think we mentioned, we had talked about how they was 150 feet originally, and then it just like kept getting like it was bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it got to the point where we see it's just like I can't not think of the SpongeBob Alaskan bullworm every time I think about this Krayt Dragon, and that's just the only thing that goes through my head, honestly.
Yeah.
I saw it. It was big. It was all wiggly. And it ate everything!
Started design-wise at 150 feet, and then they saw it in the space, and Favreau reminded me of Peter Jackson. He's like, that's great. What if it was a lot bigger?
What if it was, like, ridiculous?
It went from 150 feet to 600 feet. And the power of it, I think, is because you never see, and you don't always realize because you never see the whole thing, and they make this comparison. It's like, it's more effective, much like how in Jaws, they do the Jaws thing.
Yeah.
And not because they couldn't afford it, although who knows. But it's scarier only seeing parts of it and seeing it liquefy the sand with sound waves and how to slip and slither around.
My favorite part about the Krayt Dragon was the there's always a planning session in Star Wars. They're always doing the holo maps and stuff. And then they have the really rocks and sticks version of their planning meeting, you know, with the Tusken Raiders.
It's so charming.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that like they still always have to find a way to plan it out with a map. But like that's also where you get your first hint of how much bigger it is. Because you're like, yes. Like Cobb Vanth is like, this isn't the scale. And Mendel's like, yes, it is.
It is. Like he's like he checks with them. He's like, it's
yeah.
It's
you've seen these guys? You've seen these guys? Think they're gonna...
It's like, yep, he says it's the scale.
It's what the scale.
Does he know? He's a Warhammer guy. Oh, okay. Well, I also like, because it gets into the first part, before we even go Western, I tend to forget, not that I forget, I forget that it's still also in this episode. We have a whole little gangster sequence before we even get to the Western. And I like that they immediately, they're saying the volume is bigger and better for season two, which is no surprise. This thing is going to take over. I feel like, and
the entire entertainment industry.
And the volume is the set that they're using.
Yes. It's the set and
it's like a dome.
And they built, they can really do anything with it. To this point, they just built the whole Gamora, the fighting arena in this thing.
I loved all the stuff with the artists that they brought on to create
the graffiti.
Yeah. The graffiti artists that they brought on.
David Cho. What's his name? And he was saying, why isn't there any graffiti in Star Wars to Favreau?
It's a great point.
And Favreau said, well, there is an animation because we've seen it in.
Filoni pops up and he's like, actually.
He's like, well, actually, it was actually me for a second. He's like, there is animation. In certain episodes of Star Wars Rebels and the Clone Wars, when they go in the lower levels, you can see animation. And that's one of my favorite things about those animated shows is they have that detail of that. Yeah. But he's like, well, you know, I'm doing this thing right here with this new planet. Why don't we do some? So they bring David Cho on and they show all of his, and he doesn't just, you know, like what would you or I do, Matt? We just spray like, yay, Wookiees and like spray paint and be like, well,
this is the symbol of the Sith. People will look at like, it and be like, well, Sith was
it's
here.
Like Sith Eternal. It's like setting up Snoke. But they just, he's like, it's about layers and you just see the different things. It's like, well, up here, here's a Death Star. And then here's where they painted over. Somebody else came along and painted over.
He creates an entire history.
Yeah. And my favorite detail that he was cognizant of this is that lower, it's like that there would be like graffiti done by Jawas, but only lower because they can only reach so high.
Up their little arms.
That he even thinks like, I'm like, oh my God. Man,
it's genius.
It's like you are a Star Wars genius that you even thought of that because that wouldn't even cross my mind.
I want to meet that Jawa. Like, I want to meet that cool Jawa that's like tagging stuff.
I thought you were going to say you want to meet this artist because I'm like, well, we can try him too.
Yeah, him too. That'd be interesting.
A little bit more possible.
Different vibe. Yeah.
I love this whole setup, and I like that they're doing and just on the volume. We already know Taika Waititi has already said they're utilizing it a lot for Thor: Love and Thunder. Mm-hmm. And that's not a show or a Disney Plus series. That's a full-on feature film. That's
a $1 million movie.
Yeah, and if they're using it for that, then I bet Taika's going to love – he's already used it for his Mandalorian episode. If he liked using it for Thor: Love and Thunder, you better bet your bottom dollar, don't you think, that he's going to use it for his Star Wars movie?
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
This just opens up so many opportunities. I think – with the volume, the more I see it, the more I hear about it. It's, well, this is one of the avenues of the future of film is right here.
Absolutely. Think about like, I mean, we have no numbers in front of us, but like, I'm sure that The Mandalorian comes with a certain price tag versus like a big blockbuster movie.
Right.
Yeah. And like, how much does that dramatically affect the budget of that blockbuster movie? Like how they can make big budget Star Wars movies so much cheaper now.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Without sacrificing the quality.
Without sacrificing the quality.
Because
it'll
brilliant.
Look like a every episode of The Mandalorian looks like a movie.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about it is like that they're still experimenting along the way. Like you still have models, you still have physical.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's like you're getting like the best of every single world. Yeah. Whereas, you know, like George Lucas back in the prequels, he was really just like, I'm doing everything on a green screen because that's the future.
Slapping it all together.
You know, in post.
That, I mean, you know? Those movies wouldn't have been possible with that at the time.
Absolutely
the
not. And not even dissing it, you know.
Yeah, that was a necessary step to get
exactly.
here.
Exactly, yep.
And so it's not, I don't think it's that the quality of the artisans or the art itself is in any way being compromised. It reminds me of when you watch the behind the scenes appendices of Lord of the Rings, which I do all the time, they're using new techniques and really, really old ones that haven't been seen since, you know, since vaudeville and you know, Georges Méliès. And they're weaving all of it together into this weird pie where you don't know if it's a 200-year-old technique or it's something they just made up.
Exactly.
And that's what the volume is, this new digital theater that that can accomplish all of that. And I like that we see the AD talking to the extras there, some of them in prosthetics. And here's the quote that I loved when she's saying, now we just rehearsed it. There's nobody in here now. But tomorrow on the day, there's going to be two pig guys in here fighting.
Yes. Yeah, so go
off their energy. Yeah. And it's like, if you're, and then she says, if you know Star Wars, you know who they are. But I like this. Like, for those that don't know, okay, there's going to be
pig
two
dudes.
Look, all you need, okay. All you need to know is there's going to be two pig guys fighting in here, and just so react accordingly how you would to two pig guys fighting. Two pig guys fighting. Yeah.
If you needed a moment to be like, I've made it in my career, that's it. Right. If a meeting starts with, yeah, hey, there's going to be two pig guys fighting over here.
That's good.
And then we're having lunch at 12.
Yeah. All right. I don't care if I'm saying it, if I'm hearing it, or if I'm just in the room. That's one of those pinch me moments. Mm-hmm. It's if you're just witnessing it.
Sign me up.
And I can't believe I'm about to say this. On the day, there's going to be two pig guys in here fighting. So with that, let's break for lunch. And then, of course, Valka was like, actually, they're Gamorrean guards. And these are leaner than the...
Oh, poor Dave.
And also, it's great that they're on. Well, that was. It's not even Dave. That's like little Dave. Dave should just hire a BD-1 droid like himself to pop up and say it so he doesn't have to. And we call it. It's like W actually.
Bless.
Well, actually.
Oh my god.
So we got the two pig guys fighting. You know where, Matt? I bet there's, we can also see two pig guys fighting.
Where?
As the warm-up performance for...
Red Blaze! Come to Madison Square Garden this weekend with the opening act, Two Pig Guys in a Cage.
Red Blaze!
Like,
and you
got to
do that. Also Monster Trucks.
Also Monster Trucks.
Like clockwork.
It's not complete. You do that now. Caitlin now hates this bit.
Oh, it's the worst. I hate it too, but you know what? It's a thing.
No, you don't.
No, I love it. I
don't
love
know
it
when
so
I
much.
Moved from just like being apathetic to like bemused, kind of. I don't know.
Okay, well, moving on. Chapter 10. We've got ice spiders. We've got ice spiders equaled pulp. And that equaled Star Wars for director Peyton Reed. Mm-hmm. We've got the Macquarie design. All through its life cycle, we've talked about this, how the ice spiders are the old Macquarie design for Hoth, which are very reminiscent of the Krykna spiders in Star Wars Rebels, which we talked all about on Adelon.
I think it's Dagobah.
What?
Wasn't the spiders Dagobah?
The ice spiders were on Dagobah?
Yeah, because I remember from the documentary they said that it was a drawing on Dagobah, but whoever did the art was always thought it should be an ice spider.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
So the art was Dagobah art.
Yeah, I was thinking of the planet because they were like, okay, we want to do an ice planet that's not Hoth. So you're absolutely right about that, man. Yeah. I like how Peyton Reed also said, okay, so this episode we have a guy in a helmet, a puppet, and a frog lady. And we don't see a human face for a while, which also for him was just total Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
We got to give praise to our beloved frog lady. Who we all have universal love for, played... Realistically, it's not a puppet or anything, played by Misty Rosas. And the only time they use CG is when she is actually jumping like a frog. The rest of it was actually her.
Yeah.
And the love that they all have for her is huge. And I think part of the reason why we all love Frog Lady so much is because this actress does such a – it's easy to discount something behind a suit like this that doesn't – that's just wah and stuff like that. But it makes a difference, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and there's the physicality of it all. She's in that suit for hours, and I'm sure
it's
uncomfortable.
It's not a fun time.
Like, yeah, she's in the pool.
Caitlin,
she's
speaking as someone who's worn a frog lady suit for hours at a time, you would
course.
Know.
It's uncomfortable. I mean, it's a delight, but...
It gets everywhere.
I mean, yeah.
He also says how there's constant undercutting. The stakes are really high, and then it undercuts it. And right as he says that, there's a shot of Frog Lady getting her clothes with her tongue. Mm-hmm. And that is part of my general joy with this episode, I think, because the stakes are really high, but it undercuts. And that's what Star Wars does so well, except it picks its moments, sometimes not so great, where well, your mileage may vary. I've come to love it. We're in the middle of the Geonosis Arena. We got two groaners from C-3PO in rapid succession.
I love it.
Jedi are dying all around you. Coleman Trabor just got gunned down.
Oh, this is such a drag.
I'm quite beside myself.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Like, okay. And I remember people hated those when they came out, and now it's they're just beloved.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the cycle. Well, not by it. Matt Romano, apparently. Matt,
kidding.
You're on the hot seat
kidding.
Now. Why do you hate C-3PO so much?
Oh, Attack of the Clones, C-3PO is my favorite. Okay, anyway.
any other thoughts about revelations about the episode, the passenger, Frog Lady? And a special shout out to whoever is behind Frog Lady's Twitter, because it's really a lot of fun.
It's great. Yes,
it's crazy.
We'll never know, much like Jabba updates, we'll never know who you are.
Maybe they're the same person.
Maybe that would be an honor, wouldn't it?
No, I mean, no more. Yeah, I mean, this episode, I think also what I really liked about in the gallery special talking about this is it's like the most Lucas episode out of all of them,
you know,
like when they were making it, they were like, yeah, this is like exactly what George would have done. And it
Star
does feel
Wars.
Like it. It's weird. It totally is George.
Yeah.
Dr. Mandible. Dr. Mandible's in this episode.
You don't have to tell me.
I mean, tell you. Yep.
Look at the first 20 minutes of A New Hope and how weird that is. And you also don't really see human. You're just seeing droids and Jawas and everything else. And that is weird, especially for a movie at the time to start like that.
Totally.
It is damn weird. And that's part of the charm and that it did originally start with Luke or whatever, and that they just came in and Tashi Station, and you had Biggs, and they have those scenes, and they just cut it all out.
They said, no, droids.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful they did, whether that was the editors that just say, what about this, and showed it to him, or he's like, what if we just, you know, didn't do that, just had the droids. That was a bold swing at that time.
Mos Eisley is where it all starts, and that's actually maybe like why they chose to start Mandalorian or bring Mandalorian back there in the first place. It's like Tatooine's everything. That's Star Wars.
Right.
Like, you know.
You know, it's not never called did you know it in A New Hope, it's never called Tatooine. They never refer to it by name. It's just this worthless slump of rock. Planet that is farthest from. It's not until they say Tatooine rendezvous at the end of Empire. And then in the main credits, in the opening credits in Jedi, they say on Tatooine, and then we're back. I had for the long, because having watched Jedi first, it's always been Tatooine to me. But then in New Hope, they never say it.
I did not know that. So you learned so much on this show. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, on this show.
On this show.
This show. This audience.
That's coming, not Disney Gallery.
That's something that the Disney Gallery is too cowardly to tell you.
Yeah.
But I'm on your side, and I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm the last. Anyway, that's moving on. Chapter 11, Bryce Dallas Howard leading with warmth and specificity. Caitlin, once again, I just get this feeling every time I hear Bryce talk about Star Wars, I hear people talk about Bryce. I just feel like she, much like the volume, is going to be a pivotal part of the future of Star Wars.
I absolutely adore her. I want them to give her own movie. I feel like that's what we're leading up to. I mean, her father's already directed one of the Star Wars movies, or I suppose co-directed, depending on how you look at Solo.
And another big Lucasfilm property.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what's the other one?
Why am I blinking?
Oh, it's one of your favorites, Caitlin.
Matt, do you know what he's talking about?
No, I have no idea.
Forget all you know or think you know.
Right now, at least 100 listeners are like, I know. What are you talking about?
Somebody say it.
I've had a long day, Brian.
You are great. Willow.
Get out of here. No, nobody likes Willow. Come on.
F off, Matt. Everybody, I know you love Willow, and I'm going to convert Caitlin over to the good side of Willow if it's the last thing I do. He directed Willow.
Oh, great. Amazing. Great.
That's awesome.
I don't buy this enthusiasm from either one of you, and that took you way too long. And to our editor, keep all of that.
Yes.
Keep all of it.
Yeah, let's so anyway,
to quote Finn Rizzell, has it been so long? Anyway.
We're moving on.
We're moving on. Next one.
Okay. We got Favreau and Katie Sackhoff on her first day. Been animated Mandos together. I love that he calls attention to that because they were. Mm-hmm. And here they are. And I love that Dave says, or somebody says it, they predicted this back when Katie started. It's like someday, you never know, live action. And she's like, yeah, right. And here they are.
And here they are.
And the joy on her face is just so wonderful being in the armor. And she, even in the armor, they are on her first day and doing it. She kind of can't believe it, can she?
Yeah.
No. She did overwhelmed.
Yeah.
In a good way. Yeah. Like in the way that you would be if this character that you had been playing for years and voicing, all of a sudden you get to be that character.
Yeah.
I always wonder what it's like for any actor in any medium that like, because especially you see it a lot now today that people are like, they're rebooting everything and bringing all these actors back 30, yeah. 20 years later. And it's like, what an amazing thing. It's like, yeah, you never think at the time that like, that you're going to come back and play this animated character in a live act in the biggest show on television, the biggest show on earth. You know, it's amazing.
And you could say that, journey. Yeah, you could say that about the history of Star Wars too. I mean, it's the same kind of thing where, you know, back in the day when they were making the first three Star Wars films, all of a sudden you fast forward however many years and you're back at it again. You're doing the same stuff in the same world.
Incredible.
For somebody like Anthony Daniels, who's in every single one, you can imagine it's like how it was with the prequels, putting that back on again.
Yeah.
I just love the making the jump from Star Wars animation to live action is something that you really don't see coming. And it's something that we know doesn't happen for every characters make that jump, but the actor rarely goes with it. I'd say the next time I really hope they do it is with Lars Mikkelsen for Thrawn.
That's fun.
Because not only was the voice perfect, but he's got plenty of live action experience, plenty, and he's
the
perfect
gravitas.
For it. Yeah, watch him as a listener pointed out to me also this week. Watch him was rewatching Sherlock, and he pops up as Magnuson in that, who's very Thrawn-like. Watch him in that, and I'm just like, there's no reason not to use him. I could come up with a laundry list of other actors that I'd love to see as Thrawn, but it's all unless. It's like Lars first and then everyone else. And the Mikkelsens have already had success in Star Wars, as we know. Moving on, we got Carl Weathers, Matt Romano. Is there anything more fun than watching Carl Weathers literally calling the shots on the set of a show like this?
Well, talk about another just amazing journey. Like, I mean, what a career for Carl Weathers. Like, it's almost like he's had like three acts. It's like his Rocky Predator act. And then he was kind of out of the limelight for a few years, then Mike comes back and is in Happy Gilmore in the 90s, and it's like this gigantic comedy and everybody loves him. Then he kind of goes back when he's out for a few years, and now he's back again in Mandalorian. Like, look at that.
Just pops up like a daisy every once in a while.
He's fantastic every time he pops up.
I didn't know he was an athlete first.
Yes,
which
yes.
he says in this. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I always tend to think of him as action star and then also comedy star from Arrested Development.
And Development. I mean, he's an action guy. He's
so
hilarious.
Funny in that.
What a talented guy.
He directs.
Directs. It's like he directs. What? There's only he does everything there is to do, and there's only one other person that does that, and that's Mandy Moore. I love that he says, "I know how it feels to get hit, and how it feels to be inside of a scene, and how that feels." It's not a direct quote, but I know how it feels to get hit, and you see somebody that's been. That knows so much about being on the other side of the camera with action can only help inform it on the other side.
Yeah.
And he'd know exactly what to say to actors that are filming these scenes, wouldn't he? Because he's been there himself.
Yeah.
He probably knows, well, here's maybe what I wish I would have heard.
Yeah.
Or this would have been more helpful. I also love, he says, you never know where the filmmaking journey is going to go, but to have it come your way is just thank you. And he's just, you know, he's just really happy to be here and happy that this is where things have ended up. And we're happy to have him.
Baby, you got a stew going.
Moving on to the Ahsoka chapter.
Yeah.
And they start off and they say, here's Dave Filoni takes us on a magical journey. And I'm like, you can say that again. And it's totally.
It's his character.
Yeah. It's very, as we've talked about at the time, it's very samurai culture influenced in the way of one wrong move and you're dead. You can see a lot of, and I didn't notice this at the time, but Caitlin, I'm sure you did, a lot of Avatar Last Airbender influences here.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the planet Kaladin and how all of that is on the volume and you just don't notice because it's so beautiful.
There.
This is one of the most beautiful episodes of The Mandalorian for my credits.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it wasn't lost on them, of course, the paramount of what they did to Ahsoka and whatever they did with her here had to respect what came before. And watching it, I was also blown away because I had been thinking that in terms of how Ahsoka holds her Rebels lightsabers, I've been wrong.
I love the talk about like all the lightsabers and figuring that
out. But just seeing her hold them, I was like, wow, I thought she was holding them the other way with the curve the other way. I've been wrong about that forever. And then I was like, but did they change this? And I went back and looked at Rebels. I was like, oh, no, she held them like that, too. I've just always been wrong.
It's accurate.
Sorry, everybody. I was wrong.
And then you get the image of George just standing around with Rosario.
And they're cackling.
Which is delightful.
And I can tell it's George and Dave. This is a big for both of them, but George and Dave created this character in 2008. Yeah. Dave says how it's one of the first things he ever drew was this character. Now they're seeing her in live action. They give you know, love to Ashley Eckstein, rightfully so. And then it's all these years later. It's they hated her in 2008, and now she's beloved, is going to get her own show, which we knew at the time when this came out.
Yeah, and she's being played by, like, a huge star. She's being played
and
by
fan.
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
And fan of this franchise.
Who they say did her homework. It's like, yeah, we know. She's online all the time. And there's just this one shot, and people use this for memes all the time, of just Ahsoka and George just laughing. And it's very much, if you'd seen that in 2008 when the original Clone Wars movie came out, you just wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah. I like the stuff about her Montrals.
Yeah.
Montrals.
Yeah. About, they had to find the right, we mentioned this a little last week, because they had to find the right look. They couldn't just do, copy live action Shaak-Ti, for example, that's also Togruta and has very long Montrals. They can't ignore the animated look either. They had to find something in between. And something that she could fight in, especially because, and bringing it back to what you mentioned, Caitlin, about the practical sabers.
Yeah.
And finding the right practical sabers, what a difference that makes in terms of lighting and everything else, right?
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And I think the first time they might have done that was on Force Awakens, right?
Yeah, it was a breakthrough was the first there
thing. Yeah.
And using it again here. But that's how you get some shots. I'm sure you remember it. It's a gif used all the time
of
the sabers parting, and it's darkness and they part in front of her face.
Yeah.
And
it's gorgeous.
All of the light is from the sabers themselves.
Yeah. It's
and
amazing.
That's incredible. I don't care if it's a movie or a TV show or what, that's just some damn craft for you. Any other thoughts on what we learned about that episode other than, wow. Yeah. That's still gorgeous.
That it's genius.
Still gorgeous. Yeah. Still amazing.
We go into chapter 14, the tragedy. Boba's return, much ado about Temuera Morrison. And Matt, I thought about you when I watched this.
Because
I was thinking about you this past year on Christmas morning constantly.
Yeah,
I was
day.
Constantly yeah, with yeah, every yeah. Yeah, with every gift opened
well,
with a tear
know.
In my eye. I was like, I wish Matt was here. but I'm wondering if your favorite, one of my favorite parts of this whole special is in this section. And I'm wondering if it's the same for you.
Yes.
Which was how... Not necessarily Robert Rodriguez playing his guitar on set to the
which
Grogu,
was also cool.
to Grogu, which was a great part.
But
how he did the animatics for the Boba beatdown.
It's so good.
It really is something to see somebody that's so talented and just having so much fun. Like, he pulls his sons into his backyard and he's like, listen, I'm directing a Star Wars show. Don't tell your friends, but we're going to shoot the best scene of the season.
Yeah.
First in the backyard with you guys and some action figures and showing the side, when they're showing the scene he shot and what it actually ended up being, they're identical.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Didn't change anything.
And I love the moment where he was nervous about showing Filoni and Filoni just paused and sees them and he thought, oh, he's going to have a negative reaction. And Filoni turns, is like, no, you don't understand.
No, Filoni was like, did we just become best friends?
Yeah, pretty much these are the greatest animatics I've ever seen.
This is amazing.
If there's one person that you're safe doing them that way, and not only are they good animatics and the action and everything's great, but the way you did them, boy, did you pick the right group of people. Because how many times do they say this show is like playing with your action figures with your friends?
Yeah,
and now
I think
this
everybody
is literally
says it.
Robert Rodriguez is like, well, I pre-did this scene with action figures.
And my children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the look on his face is like, okay, well, these are my people. I'm good.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yes, you are. Because the episode was so natural in terms of the rest of the show. Not only did they love the animatics and that episode rules, but also join us on the Book of Boba Fett.
Right.
Which is fascinating to me.
Because he clearly, like, in that moment, he got the character. Mm-hmm. Like, the action that he directs in that episode, I mean, we talked about that action scene for a while afterward, because it's just, it's freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he clearly just understands, like, what it takes to make Boba the badass that he is.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this episode on Rodriguez or Tamora? Or anything like that. Of course, the Django reveal was a big deal for me. They don't really get into that. But I mean, also, there's, you know, this episode has, you know, the most tragic moment. I'm going to mention it this time, Matt. I haven't forgotten.
I was hoping you were going to get the most tragic moment
for
it.
You.
Almost clear, Matt.
Oh, man.
Face your fears. Ooh. Only facing that which you're afraid of will you overcome.
Breathe through it.
Okay, anyway, back to Tamora Morrison.
Breathe through the pain.
Yeah,
ships
talk about
can be rebought, rebuilt. Lives yes. cannot.
The Razor Crest 2. The Razor
Search
Crest
for
A.
more money.
Yeah. Is that what you're doing? Yeah, I don't know where I was going to go. But no, seriously, my only other thought in this episode is Tamora Morrison, because like he was a pleasure to watch behind the scenes.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
having a blast. He's in the cowboy hat.
That
he's
man
like,
is a class act.
Oh, man. I don't what a man.
There's just something about people from Kiwis, just people from New Zealand.
I'm like,
I just love every single one
fantastic.
Of you.
Fantastic!
I love your whole country. I love everything. And I'm sure they're breathing a big sigh of relief now.
No, we might have one listener in New Zealand. I was looking at the stats. I think we have one. Yeah. So if you're from New Zealand, shout out to you.
Let us know.
New Zealand.
Y'all are doing
listener.
Things right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, New Zealand was my escape plan for a while, and then I realized, they don't want any part of me.
Yeah.
But so moving on, we have so many great insights from Rick Famuyiwa on The Believer, and I love this that he had this idea for this and pitched it, and they were smart enough to say, do that. Not only direct it, but write it. And I love that they had the impulse to just let him run with it. And here's another guy, aside from Bryce, what show is available and which one can we give to him?
Truly.
To just write the whole thing or whatever.
Because
he's capable of this kind of nuance in Star Wars, which is a hard thing to get right.
He gets it, man.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Like, I'm you know, of course, everyone that they have working on Star Wars, especially at this point, it's such a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they have so much money and so much talent, but that is a human being who understands what the hell is going on with this series.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now I'm like, okay, that's a specific voice, and it comes through. And I don't believe that. Oh, they're assembly lines, and it doesn't matter who directs it; it's all kind of the same. I don't go in for that. With at least not with Mandalorian, I think you can definitely tell.
You can see all of the little touches that each of these directors brings to every episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm surprised. I was like, wow, that was the Bryce Dallas Howard episode. I didn't know they could do that. Or I was like, okay, that was Peyton Reed. That makes sense. And then the final one, I was like, wow, that was also Peyton Reed. Okay. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
With this one, we knew it was going to be him. And that one, it's like, okay, this is what you're capable of. This is the biggest, I think, instance of Rick Famuyiwa's voice as a writer, and because he wrote it as well, which is the difference between this and his season one episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As voice and the way he handled the action, which was fantastic. Next time we'll be even more looking forward to the Rick Famuyiwa special. It's like, well, what else does he want to explore with depth and integrity and everything else?
Yeah.
Moving on to the final, the rescue here, about here. I don't know about you guys, but here I'm thinking they haven't mentioned Mark Hamill at all.
And they're not going to.
And they're not. And and they don't.
Which is, I think what we were all, that's what we were kind of hoping, I think.
Yeah,
I think
the whole thing. That's why you would do this.
At least half of it was going to be about how they did the Irishman effect with
Mark
Hamill.
They kept it a secret, and like how Mark didn't go and like shout it to the world.
Well, get a little video of him in the VO booth doing the lines.
Yeah,
come on.
That's the way they keep it a secret. Was leaving it out of
they
this special
don't
completely.
Record it.
Yeah,
they just, there's
yes.
no
don't show it. There can be no trace. It's like that one time we've vanished that body, Matt. There's no trace except for
Brian,
that.
I'm sorry.
Except for what I just said, we'll edit that out.
Edit that out.
Redacted.
Yeah. So they had to keep it secret. I could see us getting a whole Disney Gallery season 2, episode 2, where that's all about. how they pulled off the Hannibal
I hope
effect.
They do. I feel like it's just not complete. And seeing as if we got like, what, 7 episodes or 8 episodes for Galleries season one? Yeah, like 100 episodes.
They did one for, well, I don't, those were weird times. I have no memory.
I don't remember. Yeah, but we need another episode. I think a season two, episode two of the
You feel
Mandalorian
entitled
Galleries.
To another episode.
I'm entitled, Brian!
Damn it!
I want it!
Well, I want it too. No, I want a whole, I mean, obviously, Mark Hamill being interviewed about returning and how, even just 30 minutes on how they kept the secret would be interesting to me.
Yeah. That's what I want.
And the reaction, and the you could do the whole fan reaction, you could do a whole thing. You
know? Yeah, I would say at
call
some
us,
point,
we'll make it happen.
We'll get that. We do go into the post-credit sequence, how Lucasfilm sound master Matthew Wood, best known for not only together with David Acord, does so much with Skywalker Sound, is the king of all of that. He also voices General Grievous, but playing Bib Fortuna once again for the cameo there at the end. He also is the same one who plays Bib Fortuna in Phantom Menace for Bib's little cameo there. Why they didn't go for the original actor from Return of the Jedi who is still alive, I don't know. Maybe he just said no. Yeah. But so they do go into that. And they do go into some really interesting other things about wrapping up the whole season and everything else. Any other takeaways from the rescue? We'll start with you, Caitlin. Anything that stuck out for you?
Oh my gosh. I love the stuff about the Dark Troopers. I'm always fast. I mean, we love to talk about all of like the combination and usage of practical versus like visual effects versus et cetera, that Star Wars does so well. And that is always just delightful.
Yeah. And a lot with the darksaber too, that practical darksaber just looks
so cool.
Joyous. Question for the both of you. You're cast in Star Wars, but you're cast as a character who has to wear bulky prosthetics all day in the heat. You're going to be very uncomfortable and very tired for all hours. Do you still take the job? And are you still excited about it?
Yes.
I'll do anything you want me to do.
I will sit inside an R2 unit all day with a thing over my head.
I was going to say gonk droid. You know, I just gonk it up. Yeah. I'll be there all day.
You're going to, it's like, I was going to say gonk droid. I want to shove it. I thought I was just saying for yourself. Okay. Yeah. Same. I was just checking. That was more of an instant yes that I was.
We're all in the same
question. Of course we all. Hey guys,
hey, just stand over
you
there
like
a little
Star
bit.
Wars?
Thank you. Okay. any other reactions on the entirety of this special before we leave it there? Matt Romano, anything I've left out?
I'm excited. I'm excited for Book of Boba Fett. Hey. I think that ending on the how much attention and love they did to recreating Jabba's palace, and I'm psyched. I'm psyched for that series. And I mean, it's sad that we're not going to get Mandalorian season 3 anytime soon. But Book of Boba Fett is a nice consolation.
We are going to get it.
Yeah, but eventually
we're going to get it. But you know,
good things come to those who Matthew. You know,
no, I'm entitled.
But now, yeah, you are. You're super entitled. No, but we got. That's true. They rebuilt that whole throne. I'm probably not going to see that again. Not only is this, it's a whole show of Tamara Morrison and Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah. And obviously, they're both having a blast.
I'm not about to sit here and start poo-pooing.
Ming-Na. Yeah.
Ming-Na Wen.
Get on the show.
She's so wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ming-Na Wen, you have a standing invitation anytime you want to come to Return of the Pod. You're more than welcome.
And Tamara.
You can just replace me if you want. You can take over this whole show.
Sure.
Caitlin, any other big takeaways that we haven't covered yet from the Disney Gallery?
Nah. I think we covered
We nailed it.
Talked a lot about Mando season two.
I mean, Grogu, always, you know, little man is always a delight and a half to see.
Little man.
I regularly think about, we mentioned it briefly, but I regularly think about Rodriguez strumming the guitar and them having like Yoda baby could just kind of jam out.
That
was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all know delightful. Grogu, Brian's favorite puppet.
In terms of puppets weaving in with live action actors, it's for me the greatest puppet.
Oh, so Cookie Monster's never performed with a live action actor before?
Cookie!
You want to do this now?
I don't know.
You really want to do this now?
I will separate you. It's a big cave. That's all I'm saying.
Sensors at the ready, but you, sir, started a storm last week's episode.
Ooh, man.
F is all, for cookie,
of all the
huh?
contentious drawings. That's, you know, so.
All right, moving
on. I'm going to say to you, Matt, is to fight a monster, you have to understand a monster.
Is that from Willow? Is that from Willow? Oh, sorry. Anyway.
We're going to leave it there. We're going to take a quick break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. Don't turn us off, or do. It's your choice. Your children will remember this day. Home movie of Warwick Davis in the lead. You don't want that? Some people don't, I guess. We're back, and it's time to look at some galactic points of interest.
Good news has come to the citizens of Lothal.
Gonna throw this to Caitlin for some gaming news that can only be classified as hot, hot, hot!
Yeah, we got a news that we are getting the classic game Star Wars Republic Commando to PS4 on April 6th, which That's is if you amazing. If you gentlemen will recall, it's a first person shooter. And we got the news that the controls will be updated, but I don't think there's anything about the graphics being updated in any way. So it's going to stick to like what if you played it, then you know that it's going to be like looking pretty similar to how it was originally.
Wow. I've played a lot of the like these generation games on the new platforms, and they take a little getting used to, but they're always so much fun though to revisit.
Oh yeah. Well, my brother Caleb was so excited about this that he texted me about it, and he just like sent me the trailer. So I'm so excited. So I asked him for his thoughts on it. And he said that since it was originally on PC and the original Xbox, never had the chance to play it, which sucked because he always wanted to.
Yeah.
But that now he's 100% going to get it, and that it takes place during his favorite era of Star Wars.
Amazing.
So I am very psyched for him, and I'm very psyched for myself because I'm definitely going to buy it.
Well, and I totally agree with him. I'm right there with him.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I've never played this. I missed this console era or whatever, but I like how PlayStation just brings these back. That's how I know, Caitlin, you're a big fan of Bounty Hunter.
Yep.
And I had never played that before they reported that to the PlayStation, and it's fun. And they do that with
nostalgia. They understand.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the Kyle Katarn games, even though I have to use the cheat codes, which they thankfully keep on there because I wouldn't get anywhere without it. So those are a lot of fun. But I'm looking forward to this. Is there anything else to this hot bit of gaming news, Sam Bush?
No, I think we about covered there.
Okay, well, page turn as they are, welcome back to everyone's favorite segment. That's right, Brian's Book Club.
The Sacred Jedi Texts.
Let's just crack open a book here. We got the fire going.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful day in the book club. Beautiful day.
Burning all that trash.
How you doing here in the book club? You ready to get your word on?
Let's talk some books.
Man, this is the worst open for a segment
Matt,
I've ever heard.
Matt, how are you doing? You excited to get your books on? You excited to celebrate the joy of the written word?
Oh,
Matt?
Hello, fellow kids. How are you? Are you having a good time?
Do you know that even just saying that meme now means that you or yourself are uncool?
Oh, is that it? Is that it?
Yeah.
The meme's
it's gotten
old?
To the point where even the meme has memed itself.
Okay.
So joke's on you.
Why don't you read your book?
Wow.
Nerd.
Well, you really got me there. You really nailed me.
Read your book.
Anyway, oh, wonderful day in the club. Happy to have everybody here. Coming up on March 2nd is the third and final installment in Alexander Freed's Alphabet Squadron trilogy. This one is titled Victory's Price. We've talked about these books before, but if you love stories about the pilot's life in Star Wars, and Matt, you do.
I love the pilot's life.
I know
life.
That you do. You love stories
love
about
it.
The pilot's life and the grunge and the grit. It's like, it's not a clean life. There's, you know, their bodies are doing stuff.
They're in those cockpits for a long time.
And he gets into the grittiness and everything. And there, it's stressful. And he gets through all of that. So this is, if you're into all that stuff, this is a great series for you. It also covers the gray areas of Star Wars, as well as one of the only instances that I know of in Star Wars, at least Star Wars canon, current canon, of Star Wars therapy, which we have the droid ITO, which is a Dr. Ball. So one of the main character is, you know, usually forced to have therapy sessions and doesn't trust this Dr. Ball therapist. But I love that they made Dr. Ball a therapist, and though we never hear the voice. And even in the audiobook, it doesn't talk like this. But I was like, just read this book in good day, sir.
Wait. So the ball talks? So the ball has a voice?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the ball talks. Interesting. The ball talks. I-T-O.
I don't think I'd be able to tell my personal feelings to a ball.
Therapist no. to former Imperials turned rebel pilots.
Interesting.
Who are really having some issues with it. Anyway, but this is a small reminder. That's coming up on the 2nd, on March 2nd. But that aside, it's a nice reminder that not everything in Star Wars books right now is High Republic based, but Caitlin, as you said,
most of it is.
Yeah, a lot of it is. So moving on, the High Republic.
Prosperity, pioneering, and adventure marked the era of the High Republic.
This is a question we got into a little bit last week, but I want to address it. And this is really going to take over book club, which I'm sure everyone's really excited about. Matt, you excited about these revelations?
Oh, I'm super excited for these revelations.
How far into Light of the Jedi are you now? Last time I looked, you were...
I think I'm like 50 minutes away from the catastrophe.
So you...
I'm like barely cracked like the first quarter of it.
So you're like in the first 10 pages.
No. Maybe.
Why don't you just bring it and rescue? It has stickers in it.
It is much more my speed. I'm afraid to admit. I'm getting through it. Don't worry. I'm getting there. But I refuse to read the audiobook. I want to read the book, you know?
You read audiobooks? That's like the sound
Listen.
Waves?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a complicated
yeah.
man.
Yeah, you are. Complicated. You are fascinating. Yeah. Fascinating. One day, then I'm going to crack you. Going to crack you.
Moving on. But
a lot of listeners ask what the order is and where you should start. And the thing is, you can really start anywhere, but... For me, I'll tell you what I did, and this is what I like in terms of where all of the various books take place, because there are already about five of them and two comic series, and it can be a little confusing. And though Lucasfilm and the High Republic site break this down, hey, now you got me to break it down even further, so, you know, worry not. It all starts, as I said last week, with Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule. That starts with the Legacy Run disaster, and that is the catalyst for everything that then happens after that. There is also a children's book, as I said, that covers that first section called The Great Jedi Rescue, and it has lovely artwork and stickers. So if you want some art or whatever to go along with it, it's great. It's also a lot of fun. I don't have kids, and I pick that up anyway, so what's my excuse? After that, there are two books that take place somewhat concurrently with those events that just follow different characters. So we have The Light of the Jedi is following this cataclysm and its aftermath on a grand scale. And then you have two books that follow it on a smaller scale. You have, I read them in release order, but you really can do whatever you want. So after Light of the Jedi, you have the middle grade book, A Test of Courage by Justina Ireland, which features a very young Jedi named Vernestra Rowe. And then recently added is the YA novel by the great Claudia Gray called Into the Dark, which focuses on a Padawan named Reeth Silas. Both of those stories happen roughly concurrently with Light of the Jedi and make reference to each other. So I found it helpful to read Light of the Jedi first, because you might get a little, because some of the big surprises in Light of the Jedi might get spoiled. And I found it really enjoyable already having a backbone, say, you know, this character is going to die. And then suddenly Claudia Gray decides to build them up a lot in the beginning of her book. And you're just
and
like,
then it hurts.
Yeah, it really hurts. Cause you're like, oh, why are you doing this? Cause with Light of the Jedi, I'm like, oh, I don't really care. And that, well, you care, but it's like, it's just another name. And then you get to know them in Claudia Gray's book. It's like, oh man, that really hurts. Yeah. There's so many characters. It's just, it's a lot all at once.
There are a lot of characters.
There's a lot of characters.
A lot of characters.
But that's not it, because following those books, the comic Star Wars Adventures The High Republic from IDW, written by Daniel Jose Older, it only has one issue out so far, and that is also roughly concurrent with these events. They're all spun out still from the Legacy Run, and that one has Yoda in it.
Oh, good. I was wondering where he was going to pop up.
Yeah, I remember all of the art of young Yoda.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote young.
And he does pop up briefly in Light of the Jedi. And in this thing, he's on the council pretty much when he feels like it.
Yeah.
And he feels like, okay, I'm going to come back to the council. I'm going to sit on the council. It's like, okay, we're happy to have you, sub. Get out of there. Whenever he doesn't feel like going, he just brings in a sub. It's like Yoda didn't feel like showing up today.
I love
he's
that.
Usually he's off training younglings and doing what Jedi should do. That's what's so great about this whole series is it's what the prime Jedi, everything you wish Jedi really were, they are.
Yeah, I wonder if you see some prime hot Yoda, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's prime.
He's looking good. He's,
I mean, yeah. If you ask me, he's always been hot. But following that, you have Marvel's The High Republic comic title.
Oh.
And this picks up, this is not concurrent with the others. This picks up after the events of Light of the Jedi, after the events of those two other books, and it moves the story forward. We follow a character named Keeve Trennis, and some characters from Light of the Jedi are also involved. So if I'd recommend before reading that comic to read the book, because that will spoil some things in terms of certain characters' fates and everything else. This is just the beginning. How this team, the Project Luminous team, keeps all of these brand new and mingled storylines and characters together is really something else, because it takes place so far in the past, they have all kinds of freedom. They're not beholden to anything. And that can be really wonderful, and it can also be frightening, because you say, you can do anything now, and you endless possibilities. It sounds great. And then you get in there, it's like, wait, everything could be done a million different ways. So it's really impressive what they're doing. A big hello and thank you to Lissa Hurwitz and Michael Siglaine as well. Their contributions to the project cannot be overlooked. So this is massive. It's just fantastic. It's fascinating. I'm not being paid to say this. I'm just, believe it or not, I actually am really a fan of what they're doing here. And if I wasn't into it, I would say so, or else I'd just not cover it. But it's really exciting to me, and in it for a number of ways. And so each week there's going to be little tidbits that I'm going to do. There's a lot of unpacking to do in terms of lore. And I do have one big way, a headcanon that I can already see how the events here directly impact the Skywalker saga.
Oh,
nice. If not for these events here, Skywalker saga wouldn't take place.
Whoa.
It's a headcanon. I'm working on it. Okay. It's a hot take conspiracy theory worthy of you.
Wow. Catherine. It sounds hot. Like really hot.
It's hot.
Hot.
There you go.
So each week though, I'm going to give a little tidbit of something that I enjoyed from the High Republic, and I think you would enjoy too, but because I don't want to ruin your reading experience, and these are not huge plot points or anything, these are just little details and grace notes, I am however going to sound the spoiler klaxon. Avoid this section and skip ahead a little bit in case you want to go in completely cold. Again, it's just a minor little detail, but it's a lot of fun, so sound that spoiler klaxon, let's go. Okay, the canon detail is this. You guys remember Yariel Poof from The Phantom Menace on the Jedi Council? Long neck dude.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That guy, long neck dude. Yep.
Yeah. You don't see him in episode 2 or 3.
Yep. You don't.
There's an old comic that told his fate in Legends, but is no longer Legends. But you only see him in The Phantom Menace. He is on the council in the High Republic.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
They have, the minister has a meeting with some members of the Jedi Council, so you see who some of them are. And he's there.
Wow.
Good.
And I was like, wow. And to quote Claudia Gray when I talked to her recently is, whose black and shriveled heart doesn't have room for Yariel Poof? Because I asked her, I was like, whose decision was that? It's because that's glorious.
Man, him and Yoda.
Also on the council is Slimy Wormy No Help Oppo Rancissus. And like I said, when he feels like it, Yoda, he just kind of comes and goes as he pleases. And that's just so much fun for
awesome.
Me. But there are,
delightful.
You think you have some favorite Jedi or whatever else. Matt, there are some Jedi here in these books that I gotta give some of your favorite Jedi a run for their money. And Caitlin, I already know who your new favorite's gonna be. I have feeling. I have feeling, because you pretty much are this person. And my new favorite, one of my new favorite ships in all of Star Wars, thanks for nothing, Charles Soule. He's gonna rip our hearts out, is what he's gonna do. So for all of that, cannon fire, much more to come in the weeks ahead, and I think everyone is really excited about it, including book releases that are not High Republic, of course, because those are still a thing.
Wow.
Anyway, that's gonna do it for Brian's book club. Let's just relax, stretch out by the fire, another mug of cocoa, and page turners, they are.
Dear Mr. Dashwood, enclosed are the first few chapters of a piece I've only begun working on.
And now, it's time, Captain's Corner.
I haven't had my muffin yet, Matt.
Well, I don't know how I compete with the Brian's book club.
With what he just said.
That's really good.
Good luck.
Welcome to the corner. Oh, I caught Caitlin off guard. She did not see that coming.
You did. I jumped.
Oh, she jumped.
It's when you decide to return the everybody in
there. Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes it used to be hey, everybody. Yeah. Then it morphed into just hey.
Yep.
And now every now and then you throw in the everybody.
Keep it fresh. Yeah.
I like the hey, everybody.
Me
I know.
Too.
So I always feel more at home when the everybody.
Yeah, because
I'm
welcoming everybody into the corner. You get it?
Yeah, exactly. That's how it, yes, yeah, I do.
Right.
I do.
The corner that we built.
Yeah. There's one we built in the middle of the room.
That you
that's
moved
not
from where I put a lot of work and energy into it.
So anyway,
in the corner.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the captain's corner. It's
thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm going to die. It's a beautiful day in the corner. Obviously, I'm just guessing because there's no windows down here. I can't see if it's a beautiful day, but I feel it in my heart. And in my soul, and I know you all feel it too. It's a beautiful
day.
That's all that matters. Brad and Caitlin, how are you guys doing? You guys doing good? You enjoying the show so far?
Good.
Yeah, man. It's time to raise the curtain. It's time to light the lights. You know what I'm saying?
It's time to face the music or
it's
play
fun
the music.
To reminisce.
So what are we talking about this week?
I don't know. What's
I don't know,
saying?
Matt.
Let me tell you. So last week we did all that stuff. We found all the cool stuff at Starbinger Base. The Jar Jar candy tongue, which, you know, I keep eating, but somehow magically just keeps reappearing. I don't know if there's more of them. I don't know what's going on. It's really weird.
So many mysteries in Starbinger Base.
A lot of mysteries. We found 8 rolls of Revenge of the Sith toilet paper, but there's 5 now. I don't know what's
happening. We remember. What's new on the docket?
So I've been on my phone all week monitoring the Return of the Pod multimedia experience.
So healthy.
Yeah.
So healthy.
Exactly. What I'm talking about is all of our social handles. You know, we got the Instagram at Return of the Pod. Got Twitter at Return of the Pod. YouTube. Return of the Pod.
Return of the Pod.
So it's very easy to find
it's
us.
Pattern.
And we've gotten a lot of amazing comments and feedback, and I'm just so jazzed. Our community represents, like, the beating heart of Star Wars fandom. And you know, guys.
Beating
hearts.
Does it?
And veins.
Pulses and veins. Fingers on pulses. Oh, Brian, you got something? Got something to say?
No, I just am inside questioning the validity of everything you just
Great.
Said. But keep going.
Yeah, I'm
going
to keep going.
Continuing.
Yeah, so anyway, I wanted to highlight some of the comments we got this week, specifically on our Bad Batch post.
Matt, what was the... Remind me of what... Remind the people...
Yes,
of people. Exactly what the question
yes.
was.
So the question was about the Bad Batch, because in last week's episode, we were talking about how we want to see the Yoda baby in the Bad Batch.
Indeed.
We thought we might see Order 66 happening in, and then the Bad Batch saving the Yoda baby from the temple. So that's our prediction.
And we also added in the Cad Bane arc could happen.
Yes, the Cad Bane arc.
Yeah,
yes,
we added that into. Yeah.
So we asked the fans on Instagram and Twitter, you know, who they want to see in Bad Batch. And we got a lot of great responses. So today we're going to highlight some of those responses, but we're going to have a little twist on it. I know this guy at Canto Bite. Okay. He's a bookie.
Oh.
All right. He's not he's a real piece of work. He's not a really good bookie, but he's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing.
Some solid world building here, I like
it. And he taught me how to calculate the odds to all of these character predictions. So we're going to go through all the listener predictions and we're going to assign the odds.
Fancy.
I thought you never want to hear the odds.
Never tell me the odds, Brian. In fact, that's the name of this segment. Never tell me the odds.
Never tell me the odds. Never tell me the odds. Never, 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 never tell me the odds. The odds. The odds. Never tell me the odds. Never, 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 never tell me the odds. The odds. The odds. Never, 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 never tell me the odds. The odds. The odds.
Oh, damn.
Oh, boy. That was a healthy 20 seconds.
So it took us 2 episodes back, and you're already doing segments within segments.
Yeah. Segments within segments, my man. Segments
okay.
within segments. So everybody got that?
You knew this was
Just
coming.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins. Just you wait.
All right.
So let's start with Instagram, because that's the new hotness in our social multimedia empire. So if you've gotten in on the Insta party, do it. So Skadoosh, 55. Love this name, Skadoosh.
That's good.
He called out Cad Bane, and a lot of people said Cad Bane. I mean, we said it, but like, I think we had a ton of responses. Tyler Brown, at Mr. Tyler Brown on Twitter also about this idea.
Yeah, Tyler.
Yep, Tyler's into it. So I'm going to give this one, let me do the calculations here, 34-1 odds, 34-1. I think Cad Bane is a lock for Bad Batch.
You say the Cad Bane Boba arc is a lock for Bad Batch.
Pretty close. What do you guys think?
I'd love it.
Low and you know, what would be me to not question your bookie on?
Well, you know, we're playing a lot of factors. You know, we have the animatics from the unreleased Clone Wars episode. You know, obviously some opening, some dangling threads. You know, if this is the place to end the Cad Bane story, this is a logical place.
Makes sense.
Six Chris on Instagram said,
"Oh yes, yep. Six Chris."
He said, "Echo." You'd like to see Echo?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do the calculations. 12-1 on that on Echo.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take that.
Does that mean yeah. good?
Good. Better than Cad Bane,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if we didn't see Echo.
Yeah, I think it's only a lock. If you ask me.
Yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure, thankfully, he won't come with Admiral Trench.
Yeah. We don't like that guy. We do not like him. Yeah. Listen to the old show. We got a lot to say about that guy. Taylor Fabe Ebb. Probably saying all these names wrong. But she wanted Obi-Wan to show up in the Bad Batch.
Ooh.
I'm going to do my calculations here. Hold on. I'm going to give that 23,456-1. I don't know.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Would I love that? Absolutely. Give me all the Obi-Wan that we can get. You know me. I love Obi-Wan. He's my favorite Star Wars character. But probably not. I like the wishful thinking.
I do like it. I just think he's probably off to Tatooine at this point. He's over there and there's really no need to bother him.
Yeah, he's hiding.
Yeah, I'd say it's as much as I'd like that as well, because I do love some prequel Obi-Wan. I'd say it's unlikely.
Yeah. But I'm into it. I love it. Rachel Marie 226 wants to see Order 66. Of course. I want to see it too. Let me do the calculations on that one.
Let's have another one.
3-1, I think, on that.
Or at least many, many, many references.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I don't understand odds, Matt, so you're just going to have to follow that with good or bad.
That's why you got to trust my man.
That's fantastic.
Bite, who taught me
the
calculations.
But you have to. Yep. But you're telling me what the odds are. I don't understand numbers.
Yeah, it's okay.
So follow the numbers by good or bad.
Lower the number to one, the better it is.
Should I have explained that at the start?
Caitlin, thank you, but
I don't know.
This is a waste of time. I still have trouble with right and left, Caitlin.
Okay, well.
Anyways, so let's hop over to
Twitter. That's not even a joke.
Let's hop over to Twitter. At JC.
Caitlin is so unhappy.
JC SinSA. JC SINSA. Wants to see Rex in that back.
Yeah, I think
I'd love to see
do.
Rex too. Let me do the calculation.
Cool. I love
Rex.
8,765-1.
Ooh. Not good.
It's not great odds.
I don't agree with those odds. I think we're definitely going to see Rex
at least once. At Night Cowboy wants to see Ahsoka. Also a really good name. Ahsoka for At Night Cowboy.
I don't think that'll be a thing.
Yeah, let me do the odds here.
Unlikely.
Carry the 5, 7, divided by 4. 273,963-1.
Wow.
Not good.
Wow.
All right. Next up is Brett Miller at BM6String.
Hey.
We love Brett Miller. Yeah. He wanted Bo-Katan.
Yeah.
Bo-Katan. Yeah.
I was thinking about that too, because I think filling in the gap between Clone Wars Season 7 and the start of Rebels, we could see characters like Bo-Katan. They could bring back Gar Saxon.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they could bring back Rook Cast. They could even throw in Fenn Rau. There's a lot of Mando stuff. It's too early for, Moff Gideon, but there's stuff they could do there.
Anyway, at Belgian Jedi, which is another. All these names, by the way. Let's just say, fantastic name after fantastic name.
Great names.
He wants to see Dr. Mandible, Brian. Dr. Mandible in a Bad Batch. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Let me do those calculations.
What cold and shriveled
Dr. Mandible backstory.
He doesn't want to see Dr. Mandible in the Bad Batch.
Give me a break, I mean, right?
Break me off a piece of that Dr. Mandible.
So the odds of that, 154,678-1.
Which means it's a lock.
It's a lock. It's possible.
Right.
Possible.
Yeah, sure.
Here's one of my favorite names. Well, it's not necessarily their Twitter handle, but it's what they name themselves on Twitter. Mbop the Hutt Slayer.
Yeah, I
love it.
This is
Austin Matt Scott at Austin Matt Scott. He said, all right. This is the best one of them all. Give me a whole Jar Jar story arc, Bum Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Good.
Are we into Excellent.
Like a
I would like a Jar Jar episode of the Bad Batch. Can you imagine him and Wrecker just yakking it up,
Greenlit.
It's going to have to be its own show called The Bomb Bad Batch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let me do the calculations here. Ooh, 1,456,886-1.
Not great. A possibility. Sliver of a possibility
here.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'll make it myself.
Oh, there we go.
Well, anyway, that's all of our listener predictions and the odds. We're going to be keeping track of these odds as we move into Bad Batch Season 1, and we will reference back to this to see if we were all correct, not correct. But a big shout out to all the people that made comments. I wanted to include everybody, but there's a lot of overlap. At Probably Real JB, Christian S, Potato Grifter, Trevor Rhodes, Margaret, Mike, at FGO Mike. Thanks.
And it just keeps going.
Thanks for all the comments, and thanks for following us on our socials. I'll see you next time in the Captain's Corner. Thank you for coming.
Well, I like how you got a little WWE there.
I did. You know, I didn't mean to, but I'm a big Macho Man fan.
Yeah,
and I've been waiting for a way to get the Macho Man more into this.
Snap into a Jar Jar Tongue.
We got that.
Yeah. You know, if there was ever somebody that was going to be a little mascot for the Red Blades, it would be Macho Man.
I mean, I think there's a lot of interconnectivity between what we talk about.
Well, before Caitlin throws herself out the window, I'm going to throw it to the Jedi Master. I said before. Throw it to the Jedi Master for our next segment.
This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now it's time for Caitlin's Word of the Week.
The Word of the Week is Montrals.
Good job, Caitlin. She seems to be on top of things.
That's a good word, because I didn't really know that word until Star Wars.
Yeah, and we talked about it last week. I stupidly always thought they were Leku, and
I think everybody did. I don't know.
It's, you know, Togruta are not.
You live and you learn.
Well, you live with a Twi'lek, Matt, so you know all about Leku.
That's right.
But you're not as well versed in Montrals.
Exactly. Different things.
That's something I just said.
Yep.
Okay. That's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
Feedback all over the place this week. Woo! Many listeners were not happy with how we covered the Gina Carano situation. That ram has touched the wall. We can't take it back, and we're not forcing or even asking you to agree with us. So make up your own minds, naturally, by all means. I do have to mention one quote from a longtime listener of the old show who I don't think is listening to this one anymore.
Probably not.
They reviewed the new show, and they said, "Now that it's back, I wish it would have stayed dead."
Oof.
Yeah, ugh. The thing is, that's not the first time I've heard that in my life. If you say not that, but substituted for you.
But the show? I was going to say you.
It's not the first time I've heard, "Now that you're back, I wish you stayed dead." I've heard that so many times, but unfortunately, I'm an undead cockroach, and I just keep coming back. Just
keep coming back, man.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we do appreciate your feedback. In feedback of an entirely different nature, we want to send light and life to listener Robert, who recently suffered a real-life loss. Our thoughts are with you, and though it is likely very, very shallow comfort, no one's ever really gone. We're here for you, and ore and tulava. We want to give a salute to listener Eric, who we hear has recently been so incredibly strong and helpful to his wife, Shayna. He's been like a one-man 501st Legion. He's truly been going above and beyond and being of service. And Eric, people have noticed, and they're very thankful to you for that. So, Eric, you're making a difference. All our best to both you and Shayna. Many boats. Finally, on Twitter, Trace Sharland asked if we'd review the Muppet Show Star Wars episode, because now the entirety of the Muppet Show is on Disney Plus, and all of us have been, you know, having our some fun with the Muppets, haven't we?
Yeah. Damn right.
Yeah. Now, we're not critics, so we're not going to review it, but we'd love to have a merry discussion about it. And, you know, because my machine isn't ready next week to take us into the Marvelverse, not yet, we're going to follow this advice, Trace. We're going to, you know what? We're going to take this suggestion and we're going to run with it. We're going to do a full Muppet Show Star Wars celebration next week.
What?
Next week's episode.
What? Muppets? Wait a minute.
Yep.
You don't even puppets, Brian. You don't even like Muppets or puppets. You like one puppet.
Matt, just move over to your left a little bit. Thank you.
Very excited. Muppets. Very excited
next
for this.
Week,
very excited.
Muppet Show. Yep. Return of the Pod takeover, and even better.
Oh, boy.
Do you know the one thing that can make that even better, Matt and Caitlin?
What is that?
We're going to make it a Spotchka Nights.
Oh!
Spotchka Nights.
Yeah, baby!
Now, if you're new to our particular brand of BS, Spotchka Nights is what we call it when we record later than usual. Matt and Caitlin enjoy adult beverages while I have triple the amount of caffeine I usually have. Listeners can either join in, sit back and deal with the madness, or just not listen at all, is always an option.
Great.
So, get ready. Next week, Muppet Show Takeover and Spotchka Nights.
Gonna go really well.
The content you wanted is back. You wanted us to come back.
It can't possibly be worse than this.
You did ask. Many of you asked for this. Yeah, so, keep that in mind.
You hit rock bottom when you stop digging. And all I'm going to say is our shovel has a lot of life left in it.
Oh, boy.
With that, we're going to blow these action figures away. But join us next week for everything I just said. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Return of the Pod. You can also find us directly. Caitlin, you can be found where?
I can be found at Caitlin M. Bush. That is C-A-I-T-L-I-N-M. Bush like the beer, not like the president's.
Matt Romano, you can be found where?
And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Romano, M-A-T-T-R-O-M-A-N-O.
And I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N, S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke them if you got them, take a chibi. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way we have spoken. Many boats, the Force will be with you always. Be the spark.